Hey, welcome back to Joel Radio, people. It's your faithful and trusting host, Joel Fragamenti, with you. How you doing? It's been a wild week in the news with everything going on and people dropping dead. We're going to cover all that for you today on this big show. And tell you about what's going on with my eBay auctions. We'll get to that if you enjoyed that segment last week with Steve Bills. It's not the, I'll update you on the eBay a little bit later on. But let's get into the show because, you know, it was a big week for celebrity deaths. We all, it's still on the news even as today, as I'm recording this. Michael Jackson is still all over the news and lots of stuff about his kids and who's getting custody and the will, and they think they have the memorial service now planned for Neverland, which is going to be a complete clusterfuck. And I don't know what's going on with all that, but we'll try to cover all that today. We'll talk about the circumstances surrounding Michael's death. We'll talk about the way the news media covered it. I thought it was very interesting the way the news covered it. And, you know, a lot of debate about, you know, when he was declared dead and who was doing it and who wasn't. And people are all upset. So we'll get into all that today. And, of course, not the only celebrity death was Michael Jackson. We had Ed McMahon, who we talked about last week, and Farrah Fawcett also died. And, you know, Farrah Fawcett, really, let's be honest, hadn't done anything, you know, in show business, really, in a really long time. I mean, granted, she's been sick for a long time, but she was in a couple of cruddy movies in, like, the early 90s, but not really lighting the world on fire entertainment-wise. I know she did things like, what did she do, The Burning Bed? And she did some, like, TV movies that were kind of a big deal. But that was, again, late 80s, early 90s was her, you know, the end of really her career as far as being an actress. People remember her because she was the hottest woman in the world in the 70s on Charlie's Angels. But women, just remember, she was the hottest woman in the world in the 70s. And even before she got sick, she was busted by the 90s. So, you know, I guess Megan Fox, look out, because that could be in your future. I don't know. See, I look back on Farrah Fawcett now, and, like, I remember her, you know, in the last 15 years or whatever, and I go, how was she ever the hottest chick? And even if I see pictures of her from the 70s, like that famous red swimsuit picture, like, I don't even see her as hot. I go, yeah, she's all right. But now I could name you 20 chicks all hotter than she was then. It's very weird. That is definitely something I believe in, though. I think whenever you see a woman either old or sick or, you know, she's not hot now or whatever, if you look back on pictures of her when she was hot, it never seems as hot. It's a very odd phenomenon. I don't know if it's psychological or if there's actually, you know, something to it. But I guess there is psychologically that, yeah, when I see somebody old or you know, all dried up and they used to be pretty, and I can't ever see them as pretty again, even if I go back and watch, like, the old movies and stuff. And that's why, for me, like, two actresses that I think are still hot, like old actresses, or, like, you know, actresses from old movies, are Grace Kelly, who was in a lot of really good Hitchcock movies, like Rear Window, and I think To Catch a Thief was one she was in, a lot of good movies. But, you know, the other one is Natalie Wood, and the thing is with the both of them is they both died young, and you never really saw them real old and dried up. And maybe that's why that works for me. Maybe that's why I can't look at, you know, Elizabeth Taylor and go, like, wow, she was so beautiful, or somebody, you know. You see Faye Dunaway or something, but she used to be hot. I don't know. I see him now, I go, no, it's not happening. But we'll get more into all the celebrity deaths, but I want to, you know, we do a death pool. We did on the Corey and Joel Radio, and now that it's Joel Radio, I will continue honoring the death pool. I will be the keeper of the death pool. I will update the list, put them on the forum there on the main page. So make sure to check that out if you want to keep up with the death pool. But, of course, in our world, the death pool was a really big deal because we had all everybody that died last week, for the most part, was on our death pool. In fact, one guy had not one celebrity but multiple celebrities that died last week. So I will now give an opportunity here for him to speak his mind. I think it's fair. I think it's honest that anybody who has such a great red letter day in Death Pool certainly gets their time to shine, gets their time to take your victory lap, as it were. So hopefully.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey now.
I'm calling to talk to the 2009 Corey and Joel Death Pool champion.
Yes, that's me.
We're declaring it early.
You're going to call it early. This is not like the Bush Gore election or even the Minnesota election, which just got resolved. No, this is clear cut.
This is clear cut. Yes, this is Corey, of course, from the Corey and Joel radio show. So,
How are you, everybody?
How is everybody? They're all listening to you, yeah.
I just want to say, look, finally, it's about time.
Yeah.
It was a long wait in the wilderness, rebuilding. Every year was a rebuilding year for me, but finally. Well, you know, I felt that was like the Bills. I would get into the playoffs, and then I just couldn't get over that hump.
Couldn't win in the Super Bowl. Well, you know, Corey had Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett, so he had a grand total of 88 points from that day alone. You got Ricardo Montalban on January 14th. Corey,
Here's why I say I'm going to win it, because I have Swayze on
deck. Yeah. Corey's number one pick was Patrick Swayze, and he looks like he's hanging by a thread. And he'll be 43 or 44 points when he goes. So, I don't know, man. I don't know if anyone can catch him.
If I had just had Jackson, it would have been nice, but I would have put, you know what I'm saying? By putting 88 points on the board in one day, which is the greatest in the history of the Deadpool.
That is, yeah, I had Bill Walsh and Tom Snyder on the same day, but those guys were only worth maybe like 60 points or something combined. Yeah, they were not old. They were not as young.
I thought I had a good day when I had James Brown and Jerry Ford at the same time, but Jerry Ford was only worth like 8 points.
Right, and the Death Pool was pretty much over at that point. Anyway, that happened in December when that happened. So
no, it's deeply satisfying. I know Niels also had Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Niels, so we have a fan Death Pool as well. Niels had Michael Jackson. Cam from Yellowknife had Farrah Fawcett, and Martin from Bay City had Ed McMahon. Those were the first deaths, actually, in fan
Death Pool. Amy was so happy for a day that she'd scored. Well, she was actually kind of bummed out because it was Ed
McMahon. I mentioned that last week on the show about how she was mad about Ed McMahon and that you can't cry during Death Pool. The time for feeling sorry was when you were making the draft, you know?
That's right. A little bummed out, and I was really, the Michael Jackson thing was really crazy. In the morning I woke up and they said Farrah Fawcett is receiving last rite.
I called you on both of those, actually, if I remember correctly. You didn't know when I told you Farrah Fawcett was dead.
Well, I got up about 9 o'clock and they said, and it was on the news. They were like, Farrah Fawcett is receiving last rites. And I'm like, well, hey, it's going to be a good day. And then and then I just went about my day thinking, you know, whatever. I got Farrah, and then I was out helping a friend move, actually. She was helping move some stuff into a storage space. And the movers were like, hey, did you hear Michael Jackson died? And they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's dead.
Yeah, dead. Unbelievable.
That was crazy.
Yeah, I had just posted last week's show, literally, and then the news came over that Michael Jackson. I was going to do like an emergency podcast. I was like, oh, my God, Michael Jackson's dead. But, you know.
Well, over the weekend, I went to the driving range with Rob.
Oh.
And I gloated over my amazing victory then.
Yeah, Rose has only Bill Davidson for 14 points. I've only got James Whitmore for 13 points. I'm in deep trouble.
You need a rally. What's your big ticket item?
I added it up. If my top three were to die, I have Seve Ballesteros, who's worth 48, Robert Novak's worth 22, and Ted Kennedy's worth 23. Now, those are, like, you know, all three guys have brain cancer, right? So
it seems like Kennedy's going to stick around right. At least till Christmas.
So if I got those three, that's a combined total of 93 points, and I would actually take the lead. But you still
got
Patrick Swayze out there. Yeah,
Swayze. And that was my strategy this year. Years past, I took a lot of little, small point guys.
Yeah.
I finally dropped Billy Graham off my list.
Yeah.
Apparently, God does not want to take Billy Graham.
Apparently not.
And, no. So, there you go.
It's great. And then, you know, I've got, like, a couple wild cards. I've got Gary Coleman and Joaquin Phoenix. Like, those guys could change the game. But I'm in deep trouble. I think we're all in deep trouble to you right now. I mean, you've still got Obama. Obama could drop dead. I mean, not Obama, Osama. What am I talking about? Osama bin Laden. They could kill him finally.
I kind of think he's dead already. We just don't know it.
I mean,
I don't know.
They say that Liz Taylor's having a hard time with Michael Jackson's death. She might jump in a coffin with him. And you've got her. She's worth 23.
Oh, Liz Taylor is going to be another killer. Yeah.
You're having a great year.
I talked to everybody now except for Brewer because I felt if I called Brewer, it'd be an hour on the phone.
No, that's fine. Call Brewer. I mean, I talked to him last week and told him that you had all those deaths and that him and his Paul Harvey worth 10 points isn't really going to cut it this year.
I love talking to Steve, but I just need to clear my schedule. Steve will be on
leave a voicemail for him. He'll be fine. I will. But that's great, man. You're so happy, man. It's like
greatest day in the death pool history.
I know.
Feels good to finally having been under your foot for so long.
Well, it's great. It's great that you quit the show and then win the death pool. That's amazing. That's
it's a special time. Well, you know, every year I seem to get the lead, and then you would come at the end and crush it.
Right, and this could be another one of those years.
No, I am in the front, but boy, the lead seems big this time.
Well, we'll see what happens, but
and I think that Swayze is my ace in the hole.
It could be, man. But those weren't the only celebrity deaths. We had other celebrity deaths. We had Billy.
We're talking about the big celebrity death.
Oh, who's that? Who's the big celebrity death?
One. I mean, look, this Jackson thing is nothing. This is peanuts.
No, really.
McMahon. The big death.
Yes.
Fred Travellina.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier today. I'm going to play some. I would play it now, but I have a. If you go on, there's a Fred Travellina website, like the official Fred Travellina. And it has all of his, like, some media clips from him. And I've got him on Letterman from...
Hey, Fred Travellina had a website?
Yeah, there's a Fred Travellina website. It's got a Letterman clip from Impressionist Week, which I'm guessing has to have been 5 years ago now or something, probably 6 years ago. And he looked real old then. Like, not old, but I remember, like, the Fred Travellina... For those of you who don't know, Fred Travellina was an impressionist from, like, kind of the 80s. That was his heyday. He had like a mullet, and he went on stage and did Elvis and a bunch of other crappy things.
He was the kind of guy who would do the old make me laugh.
Right. He did that, and apparently his hit show was Anything for Money that you might remember. Okay. I looked that up. Well, here's another inch. I found this on the Wikipedia. It says, in 1991, he appeared in the series premiere of the short-lived sitcom Good Sports with Ryan O'Neal and Farrah Fawcett. So there you go.
As a kid in like high school, I would obsess over like the fall lineup and trying to watch like the pilots of every show.
Yeah.
The first episode, and I remembered Good Sports, and that was
did
not last long, but I liked it actually.
Did you like it?
It was like a good office sitcom.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
There's no Evening Shade. I'll tell you that.
No, it was not. And Fred Travellina had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And he also had prostate cancer, but I guess the lymphoma came back and killed him, according to this. So.
I think it was karma that killed him. Fred Travellina, to me, was the perfect hack. He was kind of like, he was an impressionist with, like, a big blazer.
Right.
He was like every, like, 80s blazer comedian you saw in all those.
Yeah, he wore, like, a purple blazer and had a mullet and a real cheesy 80s kind
didn't
of
thing. Didn't he do, like, they put a fake chin on him and he did Leno and stuff?
He might, yeah, I can't remember all he did. And this Letterman clip, I play it now, but you won't be able to hear it, so I'll just, I mean, if you want me to play it for the audience,
I'll listen in here.
No, it's fine. I'll play it later, but he did some of the hackiest impressions you'll ever see, so
I'll play him
in these clips. But, I heard he was in the midst of his Michael Jackson impression when he actually...
And Billy Mays, of course.
I was going to say he was doing his Ed McMahon. Would that be fun? That might only be more like... guys like to do it.
Billy Mays snuck up on you.
Yeah, Billy Mays is dead, and that was real sad, because I'll tell you, of everybody that died last week, and those guys, Ed McMahon, big star, Farrah Fawcett, big star, Michael Jackson, big star, the Billy Mays thing kind of bothered me more than any of them.
Well, Billy Mays is in the prime of his career.
Yeah, that's kind of why, and just, it was so sad, because Michael Jackson was such a shadow of what he used to be, you know.
I'll tell you, I hated Billy Mays until he came out with Pitchman.
Yeah, Pitchman's great. That's a great show.
It's a good show, and it kind of... Because before that, Billy Mays was just the obnoxious OxyClean guy.
Yeah.
And Pitchman actually was an interesting show, and I feel so it was a heart attack, right? It wasn't his head getting bumped.
They're saying he had a heart attack, or it was like heart disease. Which yeah. basically means probably he had some arteries clogged, but you know it also could be like he had might have had a pulmonary embolism, which is like because they sure. say he was on a plane where he hit his head, but you can get a thing where like you get a blood clot from sitting on a plane,
blood clot in your lungs,
and
right?
it goes yeah. into your lungs and kills you. But I don't know. I think they would have found that in the autopsy, but they're just saying the guy had heart disease and he might have he was probably just stressed out and didn't take care of himself and.
Well, that guy was a high energy wild man, so you can imagine. The heart was a little.
I guess, but he probably I think he's just getting older, and he like I always tell you to take care of yourself. You never listen to me.
I don't
go to the doctor and have your like I have a blood pressure thing because I'm dealing with blood pressure. I had to get a blood pressure cuff because my blood pressure was real bad like a year ago before I started going to the gym and everything. And I tried to give Corey the blood pressure thing, and he wouldn't even take it. He was like, "No, fuck you, I'm not doing it."
No, I don't want to know.
You're going to die like Billy Mays. You're going to die before you get to win Death Pool. It'll be terrible.
I will not die before the Death Pool.
All right. Now I'm bumming you out. I'm sorry. This is a day of celebration. That's all I want to say.
I will now disclose. I had a bad tooth.
Yeah, you did. That's right.
And I finally got that tooth taken care of, and I feel better. I think the tooth infection was starting to bother me, and it was in danger of...
you can die from a tooth infection if you get, like, staph and then stuff in there, but... all right, well, that's good to know.
I got the root canal, and I'm doing better. And,
look at you. Look at him.
I will... I can't go before Swayze. I have to wait for Swayze.
All right, well, that'll be great if you die before the Death Pool, so... It wouldn't be great if you died. It would be karmically interesting.
Why don't you suck a gas pipe?
All right, I apologize. Now that was out of line. I'm sorry.
How about Ed McMahon? Do you feel a little sad for Ed McMahon?
No, I talked about Ed McMahon last week on the show, and my feeling on Ed McMahon is all Ed wanted to do was piss on Johnny's grave. That's all he wanted to do was outlive that bastard.
and he
could piss on his grave, and you know, and Johnny's only been dead for like 4 years, so. I think that was just his victory lap. You know what I mean? He spent all his money. Johnny was dead. His life was over. What was left to do?
Well, now Severinsen gets to piss on both their graves.
Well, I know, but I don't know that Severinsen was angry at anybody. I don't know that he hated Johnny or hated Ed or anything. But I think Ed kind of hated Johnny in some level. So you know,
I get a real conflicting picture about them. I don't know if they were pals or not.
No, people that know him say that they weren't. That they really didn't hang out.
They always say, like, but I always heard, like, Ed and Johnny would have dinner, like, once a month.
Okay, but that's not much hanging out.
Yeah, I know. It's not like, but then there was, like, a poker game that Norman Lear and Johnny and Dave Letterman. Have you heard about this?
No, who was in the poker game?
There was, like, it was, like, Chevy Chase. And Norman Lear and Carson and Letterman and a couple other guys would have this poker game.
Wow.
And they never invited Ed. That's what I've heard.
Well, Johnny was like that. Johnny had his favorites, and I don't think Ed was one of them, so fuck him. I mean, Ed was happy. Come on, the guy had a great life. No matter he was broke at the end and he broke his neck in a bathtub or whatever, he ran out of money, but still, come on.
And look at it this way. The Tonight Show, their version of The Tonight Show ended in, what, 92?
Yeah.
So, I mean, for God's sake, Ed, it's been a long... And he'd been on that show for 30 years.
Yeah, Ed had a great life. The guy's nothing to complain about there. I mean,
here's what's great. There's no footage of him young.
No, everything you see of Ed McMahon, he's at least... He was in some movie. Like, he was an actor. And when he died, they showed clips of him. I forget what it was, but he was, like, on a subway. And he was, the equivalent actor. I'm thinking of a guy. I can't think of the guy's name. He was like an Ed, what's his name? Why can't I think of the guy's name?
Oh, Ed Burns?
No. He was like a, what's the guy's name? Who was the American Express guy?
Ed Asner?
Ed Asner. Not an Ed Asner, but the other guy. You know the guy I'm talking about.
Carl Malden.
The guy from Carl Malden. That's what he was like. He was like a Carl Malden type actor.
Sure.
And that's what he kind of was doing. He was like a character.
He must have been, he was what, 86? So he was probably what, 40 when they started the Tonight Show? I mean, for God's sake.
And Johnny came on, and Johnny did 26 years. So Johnny came on in 60.
I thought they hit 30. I thought they hit around 30.
No, I thought Johnny did 26 on there. But he all did. Right. He did. Who do you trust with Ed too? So I think they. I think together they worked for 30 years. But I think Johnny did 26 on the Tonight Show, and
is what Jack Parr left in what 63.
I got to do all the math. I don't want to do all the math. People can look this shit up. I thought Johnny did 26, and then anyway. All right. So Ed McMahon gone. Farrah Fawcett gone.
Michael Jacko. Wacko Jacko gone. Now,
Wacko Jacko gone.
The, now, what's funny is my friend Joshua, I was in his wedding last year in California.
Yeah.
He's a magazine editor, and his wife is like a chemist who works at the UCLA complex.
Okay.
So her office, like, is right next to the medical center.
Yeah.
And the day he died, he was trying to get her to go over there and get the scoop.
Yeah.
And she was like, I can't do that. But she was afraid she couldn't get out of the parking lot because the crowd.
Yeah, I'm sure it was nuts.
So big.
Yeah. It's crazy.
In front of the UCLA Medical Center. It was just ridiculous with the people. And I'm like, do people forget he was on trial for child molestation 4 years ago?
Yeah, people kind of forgot all that. I don't know. I was going to read that. Maybe I'll do that later in the show. I'll read all the, because there's all the transcripts from, like, the kid in 93 that he paid $20 million to. That was, they were trying to get him up on that. And that kid talked about how he took a bath with him and all kinds of stuff and touched his wiener. And I might have to read all that just to put this back in. You know what else he did? You remember this, Corey? You remember he came to Detroit once in, like, the mid-90s or maybe even the late 90s. And talked about how he was going to build an amusement park, and he had all these black leaders with him, and he did that in a bunch of towns, and it was like
and
him.
They never did.
Yeah, and they had never had any plans to do it, and it was him just getting good press. It was really kind of disgusting.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I ever mentioned this in the long illustrious run of the Corn and Joel radio show.
No,
I saw Michael Jackson live in concert in '88.
Did you really? Wow.
On the Victory Tour.
The Victory Tour.
That was the Jacksons. I was like, whatever.
'88 tour would have been like the Bad Tour or something.
Yeah, it was the Bad Tour. I don't know what the name of it was.
I don't know what it was either, but yeah.
My dad worked at Pepsi at the time, and it was a Pepsi-sponsored tour.
Wow.
So I got tickets, and I saw Michael Jackson live in concert. Now, I know, if I only because I got free tickets did I go.
Well, I mean, it's something to say, hey, you saw Michael Jackson. You know, people are going to say, like, you know, did you ever see Elvis, or did you ever see the Beatles? And people go, no. And
at 88, that was the top of his. You know, he was at the top of the mountain.
He was still a little black in 88. That was a good time for him.
Yeah, I remember about 20 costume changes.
Well, and he probably lip synced too. I mean, he might have done one or two numbers, but when he was dancing around, he didn't really sing those songs anyway on stage. So.
Yeah, I remember people freaking out, and I remember getting a kiss from this girl that I gave my binoculars to.
Wow.
I remember being like, oh yeah, Bart, here, what, here, use these binoculars. And she was like, oh my God. And like, was all in me. And
where was the show at? What was the venue?
It was at the Palace. I thought.
Oh, okay.
Well, wait, the Palace opened then?
The Palace opened in 88 or 89. Yeah, something like that.
So this might have been 89 then.
Yeah, 89. Okay.
The show might have been. So, yeah, the Palace was new and it was there and, it was crazy. I just remember a lot of smoke from the sparklers and all the pots going off.
Yeah,
it was definitely weird, and I never, you know,
yeah,
not like any other show I'd ever seen.
Well, good. That's amazing. You put that in your.
Do you like the work of Michael Jackson at all? Does his music mean anything to you?
There's some good songs. I mean, Michael Jackson had, in my mind, he had a between the Jackson 5 and his solo stuff. There's about a dozen songs, maybe, that were good, or 10 or something.
Well, this is Amy was blown away by this. He only had 5 solo albums.
Yeah, that's true. Although I thought he did solo albums as
a kid.
Well,
I guess he had the soundtrack to Ben and a couple.
Yeah, because. But people consider Off the Wall his first album. That's the one that I liked when I was that age. Like, I was 7 when that came out.
In his grown-up, in his adult persona,
he started working with Quincy 5. Jones and stuff. He did 5, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his albums would only come out every 5 years.
Yeah, because he took forever to make them. And, but, you know, Off the Wall's got some good stuff on it. And, you know, some of that other stuff is not very good. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't put him as, like, an artist. I mean, think about Elvis. How many good songs does Elvis have?
Dozens.
Yeah, but, you know what I mean?
I love Elvis.
Do you? Because I don't think. I mean, I think Elvis had more good songs than Michael Jackson. But, like, you know, you look at the Beatles, where like every song's good. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the thing is, Elvis had what, 25 albums.
That's true.
Mean, you know,
But I mean, you know, Elvis, the Beatles, almost every song was good. The Rolling Stones from a certain era, almost every song was good, you know, within a certain parameter.
They had a good 10 albums worth of good stuff.
Bob Dylan had an amazing streak of albums in the 60s and 70s.
Sure.
Where everything was good. So all of those guys had way, you know, better songs. I mean, Stevie Wonder's probably got more good songs than Michael Jackson, if you want to compare it.
Oh, absolutely.
That way, as like just a comparison, you know, somebody who's a little more contemporary. Smokey Robinson maybe has more good songs than Michael Jackson. So,
yeah, Michael Jackson's got, if you don't count the Jackson 5 stuff.
Yeah.
Which I like the Jackson 5 stuff, but it's maybe one single. It's one album. It's like one greatest hits you could put.
Sure, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Not much.
And then you can go Off the Wall and Thriller are good albums. And then that's kind of all, that's it
yeah.
for him.
Yeah, because I was listening to rock music by the time Thriller came out. I was into, like, rock. So I wasn't even into, like Off the Wall, I was young enough to where I was, you know, I could get into that pop shit. But not by 83, I was done.
I was about 10 or 11 at his height, so I was into it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was hard not. But one thing I'd like to, before we put out the Michael Jackson arrest and I take off back into the semi-retirement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, one thing that's been driving me crazy is, like, all these black guys, like Michael Eric Dyson, and you know what I'm talking about? Like all the black pundits.
Sure.
Like,
Tavis Smiley.
What's the guy with the hair? Al Sharpton.
Okay, Al Sharpton, yeah.
Tavis Smiley, all these guys. I haven't seen Cornel West, but, you know, all these like hip ethnocentric commentators are all talking about how important he was for black people.
Yeah.
This is a guy who did everything he could to not be a black person.
Yeah, tried to make himself look white, wanted to be white, hated his skin.
He bleached his fucking skin, yeah. And they're all talking about how he was a big breakthrough for black music. And I'm like, no, he's not, because no black music sounds like his shit.
Exactly.
Justin Timberlake sounds like his shit.
Well, you could say something. People like Usher and that kind of are doing that a little bit, but...
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think rap went in a totally different direction than he did.
Yeah, he was definitely, you know, by the time the 90s came around, he was more of a square than he was a trendsetter
maybe,
in terms of music.
Maybe Diddy and maybe Kanye West are kind of in his style, but anyway, I just think that was silly that a guy who bleached his skin, they're talking about what a black guy
first
was.
Of all, Kanye West, I believe, is really the descendant to Michael Jackson because he sucks every bit as bad as Michael Jackson, so I have no problem putting Kanye West in that category because he's awful.
He should put out an album called Black Music for White People.
He's the worst. I think the tide is turning against him, by the way. I think he's losing popularity.
The backlash.
Yeah, I think so. All right, well, should I do these? I was going to do these without, but it's funny if you're here. So, you know, I heard there's some good Michael Jackson jokes out there. Do you want to hear?
Okay, let's hear. Yeah.
Well, you know, everyone was reporting that Michael Jackson went to the UCLA Medical Center and had a heart attack, but that's actually not true. No, he went to the L.A. Children's Hospital and had a stroke. There you go. Thanks for selling these as well as you did in the studio.
I got one.
Go ahead, yeah.
Why did Michael Jackson shop at Kmart?
Why?
Third boy's pants were half off.
Okay, but these are old. I've got new Michael Jackson jokes. I'm saying.
You got deaf jokes. All right, let's
go. Okay, well, you know, what happened was very sad, but, you know, Farrah Fawcett died tragically, and she went up to heaven, and God greeted her at the pearly gates and said, you know, Farrah, you lived a great life. You were a great woman, and I would like to give you one wish as you enter into the kingdom of heaven. What would you like one wish for the people of earth? And she said, I would like all children of the world to be safe. So then God killed Michael Jackson.
Ta-da!
Damn! Boom!
Where did these come from?
They came through my email from somebody. No, I didn't write these. I'm not taking credit for writing these.
Is there another one? You see more?
I do, but there's a lot of old jokes, though. I mean, there's the thing, you know, like...
Give me two more.
Do you know McDonald's has the Michael Jackson sandwich? Do you know what the Michael Jackson sandwich is?
What's that?
It's 50-year-old meat between two 12-year-old buns.
Wow.
You know, what's black and comes in little white cans?
Whoa!
Michael Jackson. God. There you go. Did you hear Michael... What did the lady say to Michael Jackson at the beach?
What's that?
Excuse me, sir, but you're in my son. See, I've got them. I'm telling you, there's a lot
that
of...
Actually, that one's good. I like that one.
I don't know, but those are Michael Jackson jokes. So we will remember him as he lived, a complete piece of shit child molester. And
what a weird, weird dude.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? But my feeling is when you don't have a childhood and you're famous your whole life, that you're going to end up wacky in some kind of way. And then when you give him $1 billion on top of that. I've been reading a lot on the internet about this and everything, and I found out what happened to Bubbles the chimp.
What happened? Bubbles must be dead by now.
No. Bubbles is. Oh, I wish I don't have the link in front of me, but I looked it up. Bubbles. Apparently, the story was Bubbles. He brought some school children to Neverland, and they wanted to see Bubbles, so they got Bubbles out. And Bubbles, like when you saw Bubbles, like on Michael's hip and stuff, he was like 5 or 6.
Right.
But as Bubbles got older, like he started becoming an asshole, which he actually didn't become an asshole. He just became a chimp. He was acting like a chimp. You know what I mean? Like he's not a person, but apparently he like opened up his diaper and started throwing shit at the school children. So then Michael had to get rid of him, but no, he's in a wildlife preserve, like an ape reserve. And they have pictures of him on this website. And like, you know, how Bubbles was real cute and he was in like overalls and everything. Like, Bubbles ain't cute anymore. Bubbles looks like a fucking beast now. It's like,
celebrities got to stop with these exotic pets.
Right. So Bubbles looks like your everyday chimp now. It's not like, you know.
You know, Marlon Brando had a pet raccoon.
Well, there's another nutcase.
Yeah. It's like, I'm reading this book on him. And they're talking about how he took the pet raccoon everywhere.
Wow.
And Elvis had, like, crazy pets. He had a monkey, too.
Did he really? Wow. So, but yeah, I found Bubbles. Bubbles is still alive, but I think he's 25 now.
Okay.
But
you know that guy who claimed to have cheetah, that was debunked.
Oh, really? That you love that article on him living in an old age home.
They were like, there's no way cheetah would be like 80 years old. There's
but,
no fucking way.
But don't chimps live to be roughly the age of humans though? I mean,
they said that was really pushing it, that it was like, and that they had records about what happened to the real cheetah somewhere.
Oh. Because if you saw Bubbles, like when you saw him with Michael, he was like 5. So he was real cute. But now he's not cute anymore. Now it's like just a big, full-grown chimp, you know. That'll rip your dick off if you go into his cage, probably.
Yeah, remember the way you got the face pulled off by the chimp? That's enough.
That's enough. I've had it with chimps.
Yeah, no bears, no chimps. None
of that. Yeah. All right, well,
you won't even let Niels back in the studio. So there you go.
All right, stop it with Niels. All right. But anyway... Yeah, Billy Mays, we will remember him. I'll play your favorite clip right as we go out here.
That's a great one.
I'll play that. And it was actually Billy Mays, very sad. There was a thing on TMZ had it. In the midst of all the Michael Jackson thing, they interviewed Anthony Sullivan on the radio. And there was a clip of it. And Anthony Sullivan was like bawling. It was real sad.
Wow, that is a bummer. Yeah. Well, the real bummer is that Farrah and Eggman and Billy Mays don't even get the press anymore.
Well, you know, Fred Travellina got... This is probably the most press Fred Travellina got for him dying.
I mean, and Farrah Fawcett, God bless her, was famous for not wearing a bra.
Yeah,
so.
I talked about her briefly before I went on. Because my opinion is, you see her now, and I don't think she was ever the most beautiful woman, just looking at her, right? Even looking at the old pictures.
She was such a big deal when we were kids, though.
But if you look at those old pictures now, do you think she's hot?
No, it's not my thing.
Yeah, you don't. I don't see how hot she was. I don't know what the deal is, but yeah.
Well, she didn't have glasses and big tits. So
well, what you like, absolutely.
Yeah, she was such a big deal, and I didn't realize Charlie's Angels was on for a season with her on it.
Yeah, she got so big she left, but that's what happened with Three's Company too. I mean, Suzanne Summers did a season.
Suzanne Summers was on, 2 years and then was out of there?
Yeah, I think they kind of learned to like sign people up for... long term after that. But
should have signed me up for a long term contract.
Well,
all
Corey
right,
walked out. There you go. So Corey's now. But the good news is Corey's up to other exciting things. He's now playing Mass Effect on his 360 with all the time he has. So Corey will be conquering the universe in space.
Well, you will hear from me soon, everybody. I will be around. So
look at you, all cryptic.
All right then.
all right.
Keep watching. Guys,
all right, Corey, the Death Pool, congratulations once again.
I when Swayze calls, I will be back.
We'll have you on for Swayze.
Well, we'll be back for victory.
All right,
later.
Get the fuck out of here. Goodbye, Corey Hall. Everybody, there he goes. Unbelievable. How's he get all these deaths? That's ridiculous. But you know, I've only won the goddamn thing 4 years in a row, so I guess I'm due to lose. But congratulations to Corey. I know you're all glad to hear his voice out there. So, oh, man. All right, let's get into this. I told you I'd play these guys. Let's remember Billy Mays. If you don't know who Billy Mays is, he sold crap on TV, basically. If you don't live in America, he's the guy that came on TV every minute and sold you one gadget or another or something to clean your laundry or just a bunch of kind of ridiculous products. But, you know, people liked him. He had this big, loud voice. And so very funny when they sent him to McDonald's. I like this. This was some radio station
here. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'd like to order the buy one, get one free bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. But wait, there's more. I'd like to get a hash brown.
Okay.
And do I have to pay separate shipping and handling on that?
No, you don't.
Oh, okay. But I'm still not done. I'm really hungry, and I have friends here. How about this? If you call now, but I'm going to order now, can I get a sausage burrito? Make that two sausage burritos.
Okay.
Two sausage burritos. You want to get one? Okay. So I'm not going to pay $100. I'm not going to pay $200. Not $300. Not $400. Right? Did you change $100?
Yes. Nice.
Thank you.
Here's your Billy Mays update. Dad had a heart attack, or heart disease is what they're saying. I don't know. He was on a plane where the tire blew out upon landing, and he hit his head. And they were thinking that maybe the head trauma killed him later. You know, like Natasha Richardson. You hit your head and you die a few hours later, but that didn't happen. He had heart disease. Died at 50, Billy Mays. And Pitchman's a good show. If you can check that out on Discovery Channel, I know they're doing some tributes to him, maybe a marathon. They've only done, I'm guessing, 6-7 episodes of that at this point. I think I've seen them all. It's a good show. It's about the inside, behind the scenes of what would you call that? Direct response marketing, infomercials. And him and Anthony Sullivan, the British guy who you might probably recognize from those commercials too. It's a good show, and sad to see him go. Had a little girl, like 3 years old, who's on the show from time to time, and real sad, man. I felt bad. I felt worse about him than any of the other ones. I really did. It sucked. So Billy Mays gone. And then we talked about Fred Travellino. Let me play this for you. This was him on Letterman. You'll hear Letterman introducing him. And I only kept one. I only pulled one little bit of his thing. I think he did about 5 minutes on Letterman. And listen to this. This is
Seven,
Fred.
Please say hello to Mr. Fred Everybody, Travellino. Fred Travellino.
Thank you very much. It's great to be on the show. Great to be back in New York, my hometown. And I noticed in the papers today that Giuliani is going to be running for president. How do you feel about that? Huh? Pretty good. Well, I have another suggestion, a different president. Here is Jack Nicholson as president of the United States.
He just put on sunglasses to look like Nicholson.
How you doing, everybody? I'm the president of the United States, and I just canceled the income tax for everybody. How about that, kids?
Well, Fred Travellino comedy. We'll remember Fred. I don't know how old he was. He was older than, like I said, I was telling Corey, he looked way older than I remember him in the 80s, but Fred Travellino gone. Danny Gans, the impressionist, died a few months ago. So, God, if you're an impressionist, you just moved up two rungs in the show business ladder. I got to work on my impressions. I don't know who I can do. Drive my car. I don't do a lot of impressions. I should do more. Be very famous now instead of this. Instead of being myself and trying to be funny. He had a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, too, Fred Travellino. Which is kind of pathetic. Cause they just announced they're going to give Ringo Starr one, which is like... I mean, if Ringo Starr is just now getting one and Fred Travellino's had one for 5 years, that's kind of sad. But 'Tis true. Fred Travellina gone. All right, all right, all right. Well, we should get more into the Michael Jackson thing. Well, should I do my eBay update next? Maybe we'll do a very quick eBay update on my stuff. I'm actually going to pull it up live here. But I gave last week, if you listen to the show, comedian Steve Bills took my Laserdisc collection, my Laserdisc player, and we put them all on eBay over the weekend. And Bills did this himself, but I'm going to tell you where you can see these. If you have to search for the seller, and the seller's name, this is Bill's ID on there, is 857-PLUS, P-L-U-S. So the number is 857-PLUS. And if you look for his current auctions, you'll see all my Laserdiscs on there. And as of right now, nothing's gotten a bid, but there's still 5 days left as I'm recording this. I believe they end this coming up Sunday. So if you want to bid on my Laserdisc, he broke things up kind of like he does with his DVD sales into themes. Like there's a whole Woody Allen collection, and then there's Sean Connery, James Bonds, and a lot of stuff like that. So if you want to check out my Laserdisc and buy some stuff, I think everything, if I sell all of these things for the starting price, which means one guy bids on it, it's going to be like $200, which I'm fine with, and I'll split that with Bills, you know. But my Tex Avery cartoons, which were a big deal, we've listed at $89.99 starting bid. So if you want those, go look for 857-PLUS, P-L-U-S. And that's where my eBay auctions are. Go buy my Laserdisc. Give me some money. Give Bill some money. All right. Let's... I got to get into this Michael Jackson thing. Those jokes were funny, though, I think. The new ones. I'll do the old Michael Jackson jokes. Those are good, too. But I'm actually going to stop doing in my act. I do I used to do a thing with Michael Jackson. What I would do is show I had this picture of Saddam. What happened was, I guess I'll just do the joke for you now in audio form. But, you know, Saddam Hussein was arrested. When they finally picked up Saddam Hussein, he had a giant beard. If you remember when they picked him out of the spider hole, he had the big giant beard, and I showed the picture of Saddam Hussein. But what the first thing the Americans wanted to make Saddam do is they made him shave off the beard because they wanted to show the true evil underneath. So then I move aside the picture of Saddam Hussein, and the underneath is actually Michael Jackson. And I always got a big laugh. I always did that. I'm going to retire that from the clubs now. But I did that Michael Jackson thing, and... always got a big laugh. But those two pictures came out at the same time. Michael was arrested for the child molestation, like within a week of Saddam getting found by the Americans in Iraq. And so those pictures came out at the same time. They were kind of funny, so I kind of threw them together and made a bit out of it. And, you know, Saddam got hung by the Iraqis, and I still kept doing the bit, and it was still getting a laugh because, you know, everyone's still laughing at Michael Jackson. But now I think I'm going to have to retire it. I'm feeling that the audiences won't laugh at the Michael Jackson jokes. That's my feeling. I did Michael Jackson jokes. Actually, he died Thursday, and I had to do my open mic at the Club Bart in Ferndale that I do every week. And I went up as the host and did Michael Jackson jokes for, you know, a few minutes. And people fucking hated it. They looked at me like I was a complete fucking asshole. So, what can I do? So, I think I'm going to retire that Michael Jackson bit. And then I had another tag to that, which is a Michael Jackson joke that I actually wrote. I talked about how Michael Jackson wanted to plead guilty to the charges against him. I know he got acquitted, but he was trying to cut a deal with the prosecutors where Michael was going to plead guilty to the charges in exchange of a sentence of 2 to 4 years in juvenile hall. But they wouldn't go for that. So that was another little Michael Jackson joke that I will be retiring from my act, unfortunately. Because those were pretty good laughs that I would get. But it was a little stale doing Michael Jackson jokes, you know, 4 or 5 years after he was, you know, had been arrested. But fuck it. People were laughing. It was good. But now he's dead. I'm going to retire those jokes. In deference to MJ, I will retire those jokes. So even though I'm going to stop telling the jokes, I'm going to do something here. I said I was going to do this when Corey was on. So let me get to this. This is, you know, Michael Jackson was on trial in 2005 for molesting kids, but he was actually looked like he was going to get charged in 1993 for molesting this kid, and he ended up buying his way out of it. I think he paid the guy off $20-25 million in a civil case that they bought out, and then they dropped the charges against him criminally. But here is the kid's from 93. This kid, this is his deposition that he gave in the case. So I'm going to read this. It's about a page long, but bear with me, because if you've never read this, this is on Smoking Gun. They've got the Michael Jackson, this whole thing. I'm just going to read you the highlights of this, what the kid is accusing Michael Jackson of doing. He's telling this story in first person. So he says me and, you know, all that stuff. That's him saying it, not me. So I'm quoting the kid here. He was 13 years old. He gives this deposition about what he did with Michael Jackson. This is what you're going to hear. So be prepared to be disgusted. This is awful stuff. So get ready. Here we go. He says, the first step was simply Michael Jackson hugging me. The next step was for him to give me a brief kiss on the cheek. He then started kissing me on the lips, first briefly and then for a longer period of time. He would kiss me while we were warm in bed together. Okay, so right there, he's a goddamn son of a bitch. Like, even if that's true, I don't know that that's a crime, but that's wrong anyway, slice it. So he goes on. He says, the next step was Michael Jackson put his tongue in my mouth. I told him I did not like that. Michael Jackson started crying. He said there was nothing wrong with it. He said that just because most people believe in something is wrong, it doesn't make it so. Michael Jackson told me that another of his young friends would kiss him with an open mouth and would let Michael Jackson put his tongue in his mouth. Michael Jackson said, I did not love him as much as his other friend. The next step was when Michael Jackson rubbed against me in bed. The next step was when we would lie on top of each other with erections. During May of 1993, my mother, Lily, and I went with Michael Jackson to Monaco in Europe. Michael Jackson and I both had colds, so we stayed in the room all day while my mother and Lily were out. That's when the whole thing really got out of hand. We took a bath together. This was the first time that we had seen each other naked. Michael Jackson named certain of his children friends that masturbated in front of him. Michael Jackson then masturbated in front of me. He told me that when I was ready, he would do it for me. While we were in bed, Michael Jackson put his hand underneath my underpants. He then masturbated me to a climax. After that, Michael Jackson masturbated me many times, both with his hand and with his mouth. Michael Jackson had me suck one nipple and twist the other nipple while Michael Jackson masturbated. On one occasion when Michael Jackson and I were in bed together, Michael Jackson grabbed my buttock and kissed me while he put his tongue in my ear. I told him I didn't like that. Michael Jackson started to cry. Michael Jackson told me that I should not tell anyone what happened. He said this was a secret. So there you go, 1993, the deposition of one of his alleged victims, Michael Jackson. So remember that when you're listening to his dumb songs and everyone's buying his song. Why, who's buying those songs? Buying them dumb Michael Jackson songs. Just remember that. Just remember the guy we're dealing with here, okay? Doing that to a kid. Ridiculous. Guilty, I say. Guilty. But they let him go. There was no problem. Jury acquitted him. Now, that was it. Now, remember, that's the kid who, he wasn't on trial for that kid. He was on trial for this other kid, but he gave a bunch of testimony, too. So, and I don't have that in front of me, but, I'm sure it's pretty damn similar to what he said. So, and I don't know how a kid, you don't make stories up like that if you're a kid. I mean, you know, and maybe there's somebody that, implants things in kids' mind. You always hear about that, but I'm telling you, something went down, man. Something went down. That's all I'm saying. And even if nothing happened, you don't leave yourself open for shit like that, Michael, you dumbass. So stupid. Anyway, and the other thing about Michael Jackson, and we'll wrap it up on this today, was, the media coverage was crazy, of course. It's been on the news 24/7, but one of the things that I loved was the day that he died, that people were not reporting that Michael Jackson had died. TMZ came out and reported it pretty much right away. They put it up that he was being rushed to the hospital. Within an hour, they put up Michael Jackson dead. No one else would confirm Michael Jackson dead. Everyone else would say, well, Michael Jackson rushed to the hospital, cardiac arrest, coma, they heard. The LA Times was reporting Michael Jackson in a coma, which was never true. He was never in a coma. He was dead, basically on the scene. They tried to revive him, took him to the hospital, and he was pronounced dead there. But he was basically dead at the scene. He was not comatose in any way, I don't think. So the LA Times was completely wrong, but a lot of these CNN and Fox News, they ran with that. Michael Jackson in a coma, Michael Jackson cardiac arrest. And then L.A. Times, of course, gave this. I don't know who what the byline is here. Okay. Alexandra Letellier, deputy editor of Brand X. I guess this is, I don't know, she's some sort of writer at the L.A. Times. But they give a commentary about it. It's entitled, "How Would We Have Reacted If TMZ Had Been Wrong About Michael Jackson's Death?" And let me just ring this. Just get read you a little bit of this here. Has technology's ability to deliver information at such a rapid pace corrupted us? It's one thing to marvel at how social media sites have helped spread Iranian news we might not have attained due to censorship and with such timeliness. It's quite another to have become a culture that prizes speed over confirmed facts. Have our standards for accountability dissolved? And they're also saying, well, what would have happened had, you know, TMZ been wrong? But this is what they're missing in this. This is what the LA Times and what a lot of mainstream media miss about bloggers and internet people. And that is, you know, TMZ wants to be right as well. You know, they like to say that, hey, you know, we've got this integrity. We've got to have confirmed sources and all this stuff. But, you know, TMZ doesn't want to get it wrong either, you assholes. I mean, TMZ has every reason. You know, they're driving a lot of revenue to their site. They're getting a lot of advertising. They've got the TV show. TMZ doesn't want to be known as somebody who gets it wrong. So when TMZ reports that he's dead, which is very simple, they weren't reporting all of the facts of the, you know, drugs and all that stuff. That got reported later. But when TMZ says, hey, you know, Michael Jackson's dead, you got to believe somebody knows that said told them Michael Jackson was dead. They didn't just make it up. I mean, you don't just make up whether he's dead or either he's dead or he's alive. It's very simple. There's not a lot of gray area in there. And so when the LA Times on their thing says, well, he's in a coma, well, what does that mean? That wasn't accurate at all. So really, if you're going to criticize TMZ, but look back on what happened in the last week. TMZ got it right every step of the way. Why are you mad at them? And I understand, you know, you have to confirm things and say these things, but, you know, don't piss on TMZ just because they got it right and you didn't because the LA Times blew it. And had TMZ gotten it wrong, then TMZ would suffer for it. Then TMZ would be the ones where people would go, you know what, I don't know if I trust TMZ. You know, those say, you know, poor reporting has its own drawbacks. You know, you want to have credibility as a news organization. You got to get shit right. And TMZ knows that, and that's what they're doing. So don't get a bug up your ass about it. You got, TMZ is a leaner media organization. You know, being on the web, they can get things up right away. And, you know, they've got good sources. They've got that brand name. And they may pay their sources. I'm not doubting that. I mean, I understand that, you know, the LA Times won't pay sources, and maybe TMZ does, but that's kind of the way the shit works now. I mean, people pay for photos, and that's okay. And TMZ pays for photos, and, you know, LA Times pays for photos. But you can't pay for information. That's wrong. And in some cases, it might be. In some cases, you could slander somebody or, you know, and I understand that you want to hold back on things like, you know, they mentioned in here the Monica Lewinsky case and, you know, things that could be scandalous. But if Michael Jackson's dead, he's dead. You know, once you're dead, you're dead. It's not like a thing where, hey, Michael Jackson, you know, was arrested for something or, you know, something where there could be, your information could be wrong and somebody could be damaged. But if Michael Jackson's dead and you report him dead, where's the damages? And if they report Michael Jackson dead and Michael Jackson's alive, who gives a shit? No one's going to, you know, I mean, it's not like the end of the world if you reported him dead and he's alive. He's alive. He's all right. You know, years ago, Congress had this. They started paying tribute to, this might have been back in the late 90s, but they did this whole thing about Bob Hope had died. Now, Bob Hope's dead now, but at the time, Bob Hope was very much alive. And all the congressmen started giving Bob Hope tribute speeches. Because somebody reported Bob Hope dead, but Bob Hope was alive. And we, you know, everyone, no one was really upset about the fact that it got reported that Bob Hope was dead. Everyone was just happy that Bob Hope was alive. So, you know what? Had TMZ gotten it wrong and Michael Jackson would have been alive, everyone would have been like, all right, well, that's good news then. I guess they screwed up. So, these LA Times, the media is just up in arms. And it's like, you know what? Maybe people figured out how to do it better than you did. And I understand it. And there's certain things where, yeah, you got to have that. You got to have reliable sources. You got to back stuff up. You got to check your facts. That's all great. But this Michael Jackson case, you know, very simple. The guy's dead. And that's it. You screwed up. TMZ did a great job. All praise to TMZ. Good stuff. Anyway, other thing I want to tell you about online, if you read, they're excerpting a guy. I think these are actually from his book, but a guy named J. Randy Tarabarelli wrote a lot of stuff about Michael Jackson. He wrote a whole book, but they're excerpting the book all this week on the Daily Mail, which is from the UK. So if you go to dailymail.co.uk, search for J. Randy Tarabarelli's articles on Michael Jackson. They're great because they do one. They talk about what Michael Jackson did to change his appearance, his surgery, the reasons why. I guess he hated his dad. They talk about his marriage to Lisa Marie Presley. Apparently they were fucking, like they really were fucking. And this guy would know. He knew Michael Jackson. And a lot of good stuff in there. J. Randy Tarabarelli, if you want to. With a little more depth on Michael Jackson and what a freak he was. And really, you come across, he really was a freak. But, and J. Randy Tarabarelli actually was a guy who, you know, towards the end of his life, really distanced himself from Michael Jackson. Even though he was a lifelong friend, he was kind of like, yeah, Michael's just too weird for me. So there you go. There's my tribute to Michael Jackson. Bathtubs, erections. What else can I tell you? The guy was a skunk, I think. God, I'm not going to miss him. Music was overrated, and goodbye. That's enough. It's enough of Michael Jackson. And there'll be scandal and bullshit, and they're gonna, you know, there's going to be conspiracy theories about how he was murdered. That stuff's going to come up. I'm surprised it hasn't been, that people haven't been beating the drum very loudly that he was murdered already. But that's going to come soon. The wackos will be coming out soon. Just like Princess Diana, which there was never any proof of that. Still people believe Princess Diana was murdered or there was a conspiracy there, which never proven. And same thing's going to happen with Michael. That'll be his legacy. He lived a weird life. He died a weird death. He's gone. Goodbye, Michael Jackson. All right. And goodbye to you guys. Goodbye on behalf of me. It was fun hanging out with you. It was good talking to Corey today. I want to also tell you, if you haven't checked out the main page there, which is now joelradio.net, that is the website. You can still go to coreyandjoelradio.com. And all roads lead to the same place. But got a whole new color scheme up there. We kind of redid the website. It looks pretty cool. So check that out, joelradio.net. You can always send email to the old address, email at coreyandjoelradio.com if you want to talk back. The forum, of course, is open still as well. Over there, just click on forum from the main page, and you'll get to that. And, yeah, it was fun hanging out with you, so we'll catch you next week. Good luck to everybody playing in Death Pool. I know our fans are playing, and a couple of you got Das Niels from Germany. You're winning right now, so that's a good thing. And, I mean, what else can I tell you? It's been a heck of a good time with you this week. Goodbye, Michael. Goodbye, Farrah. Goodbye, Ed. Goodbye, Billy Mays. Goodbye, Fred Travellina. Goodbye to Fred Travellina's impression of Jack Nicholson. At least you won't have to hear that anymore. Holy shit. And goodbye to everybody. Thank you for listening. I'll catch you next week. It's Joel Radio. I'm out of here. I'll catch you next time. Goodbye.